If you haven't found it already, it's on page 1196 of the Church Bibles. Today's reading is from Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 3, starting to read at verse 10 through to 17. Paul's charge to Timothy: you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray as we come to this passage together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give it to us to teach us about yourself, to make yourself known. We pray that we would know you as we read this together. We pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit and change us to be more like Jesus as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what is the purpose of this book? Why should you read it? Some people would say that it is no more than a fairy story that will make us feel a little bit better about ourselves, nothing more. Others might admit that it's an interesting historical, sociological kind of document, something that you can study to find out more about ancient people. But with nothing actually to say to us now, today. I could go on, couldn't I? There are all sorts of views of what the Bible is and what it's for. That's what we're going to think about this morning. What is the purpose of Scripture? Or you could look at it the other way around, if you like. What should we expect to get out of the Bible as we read it? The last few weeks in this short series, we've seen the example of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, choosing the better thing, to listen to him, while Martha is distracted, doing lots of other good things, but not prepared to come and listen to Jesus. And last week, Rob showed us the danger of the spiritual mobile phone walk, of walking into danger because we're not paying attention to what the Bible says. And the call to encourage each other to keep walking towards that rest that is promised. And Rob titled this series, Hearing God in a Noisy World. Hearing God in a Noisy World. And it is, isn't it? A noisy world. A world is full of people saying that their way is better. Saying that sticking with old-fashioned beliefs just puts people off church, stop them coming through the door, and say we should join with them in moving with the times instead. Or people saying that, actually, I don't need the Bible quite as much because God speaks to me directly. And while you're here, here's this new thing that he's told me that it is important that you know. Well, Timothy, who Paul is writing this letter to, he would have understood the noisiness of the world. Paul, his mentor and father figure, is in prison at this point because of his faith. And the secular world around Timothy would have been saying, you don't want anything to do with that criminal and the crucified man he calls Lord. The religious world would be telling Timothy to move on. Paul got us going, but why stick with someone who is now going nowhere when you could have the good life that God promises right now? No need to wait for it, no need to suffer. And amongst all that, the church that he's trying to lead in Ephesus is wavering between all those different voices and arguing among themselves. Paul, though, he's confident about the truth, and he wants Timothy to stick with it. That's what this letter is about persuading Timothy to stick with the truth. And chapter 3 and verse 14 is a key verse in this whole letter, which gives the main instruction: continue in what you have learned. Continue. Continue because you know those from whom you learnt it. So that's Paul, Timothy's mother and grandmother, who we meet earlier in the letter, and others. That's why Paul reminds Timothy of what he's been through in those first couple of verses that we read. But we don't have time to go into too much detail about those today. Continue because you know those from whom you learnt it. And what we're going to focus on today, continue with Scripture, with the Bible. See, when Timothy is facing what he's facing, all those different voices, the temptation could be to abandon the Bible, or at the very least to twist it for his own purposes. Some of his opponents would have been quoting lots of passages from the Bible to try and prove their point. And so Timothy might be wondering, could it really be trustworthy if that's what these people are making the Bible say? Others that he's facing would probably respect him far more if he came up with his own fancy arguments, ones that would win the debate in the debating hall, rather than rely on this crusty old book. Paul wants Timothy to know that the Bible is the single resource he needs to keep going in this noisy world. We're going to see two things about Scripture and its purpose this morning. Two things which, if we get right, will help us to read it better, to get more out of it, to keep going and hear God in a noisy world. We're going to see that Scripture makes us wise for salvation, and that Scripture equips us for good works. So first off, Scripture makes us wise for salvation. Have another look at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So Timothy had a Greek father, but a Jewish Christian mother. And it would have been her that had made it her job to teach him the scriptures, probably from age 5. Now, he wasn't a scholar like Paul was, but actually, he understood what he'd read much better than Paul had when he was a young man. It's probably obvious that you can read a document and completely miss its purpose. You might know that I've recently moved just before Christmas, and so there's lots of flat-pack furniture building going on at the moment. I was doing a bookcase just last week. And of course, the first thing you see when you open the package is the instructions, isn't it? For some of you, that might just seem like part of the packaging and it immediately goes in the bin. Some of you might sort of flick through those instructions, get the general idea, and then go, oh yeah, that's easy enough, and do it your own way, hoping that there aren't any screws left over at the end. Others will go carefully, step by step, checking each instruction. And that's its purpose, isn't it? That's what it's been written to do, to guide you through building the piece of furniture. If you use it for something else, it's not going to achieve what you want it to achieve. Paul grew up reading the scriptures, but entirely missed their purpose. He studied it deeply, and what he found were rules and traditions, restrictions to try and force him to be good. Things to make him pleasing to God. He used it to attack Christians, and his heart was actually only hardened towards God. Timothy was shown exactly the same scriptures, but he saw Jesus. He read God's promises of a Savior and trusted that they were for him. And that's what the Bible is for, Paul says. Its purpose is to make us wise for salvation. Sure, we can look at the world and think that, yeah, maybe there is a God of some kind. We can see that the world isn't perfect, that it needs fixing. But only the Bible has the full story. The story of our hopelessness and rejection of God, of Jesus' perfection, his death and resurrection, his offer of life to all who repent and believe. It's only in the Bible that Jesus is promised, revealed, and made known. Which means as we read it, we should read it expectantly. We should expect that as we open its pages, Jesus comes out as the Holy Spirit shows him to us. And we should expect that everything we read points us to that saving faith. It means that it is actually all we need for salvation. There is no higher level, no higher knowledge that we need. There is no experience or to get into some club or anything. Now, the Bible tells us everything that we need for salvation. Now, there is nothing else needed. And it means that we shouldn't change it. It is the Bible that makes us wise for salvation. If we take anything away or add anything to it, then it is no longer God's word. It is our own. And we see throughout the Bible that what we make has no saving power at all. It's worth saying at this point that it's not the Bible that is doing the saving. We've seen throughout this term that God is inextricably connected to his word. Jesus is the word made flesh. The Bible is through the Spirit what allows us to know God and that salvation in Jesus. It is Jesus that saves. The Bible tells us about him. And it's also worth saying that the scripture that Paul's talking about here, the Holy Scriptures, mostly is going to mean the Old Testament at this point. Some of Paul's earlier letters were probably starting to be seen as scripture, but much of the New Testament was still being written at this point. which probably should transform our view of the Old Testament somewhat. It's probably going a little bit far to say that the New Testament is just the DVD extras. Clearly, it's incredibly important. It tells us so much about the person of Jesus. But if your question is, how can I be saved? The answer is already there before you get to Matthew 1, verse 1. Throughout the Old Testament, Jesus is promised, and people are told to trust God for their salvation. So what would it look like for us to read the Old Testament, not just as a background context to help us understand the New Testament a little bit better, not to read it just as stories of people a long time ago in a land far away, but as containing everything that we need for salvation. I think it would probably make us more excited to read it. It would make us want to read it more often. And it would make us maybe spot things that we haven't spotted before. And how does knowing that Scripture makes us wise for salvation affect how you hold out your faith to those who haven't yet been saved? Maybe you're thinking about, as Passion for Life gets going in the next week, what is it that you think your friends need to be saved? Is it a sign from heaven? Maybe some inarguable evidence that would prove the existence of God? Or some unbeatable debating point that you can throw at them? Now, not that any of those things would be bad, but all that they actually need is right here already. All you need to do is to help them to get the Bible open, whether that's with you, whether that's with someone else preaching it at one of the events that are going on, or maybe even just on their own, without you even knowing that they've done it. That's all that they need to be saved, is to read the Bible and, with the Holy Spirit's help, to understand it. Scripture makes us wise for salvation. That's one purpose, but there's another too. Scripture equips us for good work. Scripture equips us for good work. So if Timothy is persuaded to stick with Paul, stick with the Bible and Jesus, to continue in how he started, what about his church? When the noisy world is pulling them in all different directions, what is going to help them to keep living for God? Paul has an answer for that too. Look at down at verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul doesn't give two separate resources. This is one resource. The same Bible that leads to salvation is what will keep us going too. Now, there's lots that we could say about what teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness are, what they look like. But at the very least, it's clear that there is a positive and a negative side here, isn't there? The Bible shows us the right way to go in instruction, like love your neighbor, and in example, like we see in Paul in verse 10 and 11. But it also warns us about the wrong way to go. It shows us the mistakes others have made, and it points out where we might be going wrong. This is exactly what Timothy needs as he tries to lead his church. This is exactly what Timothy needs as he tries to shepherd them in the right direction and faces those who are trying to deceive them and lead them astray. So there's no need for Timothy to try and figure out his own way of growing the church's faith. There's no need for fancy new ideas. There's no need to try and compete with the false teachers who are promising wealth and happiness. Timothy has already been given everything he needs for every good work. That is to lead his church the right way. The Bible is all that he needs. You might ask, well, how on earth can it be all that he needs and continue to be for all people in all time when life seems so different to how it was back then? Well, it's because all of it is God-breathed, Paul says. That might seem a slightly odd phrase, God-breathed, but it takes us immediately back to Genesis chapter 2. God breathed life into Adam. He took dust and he made it into something living. And actually, the word that is used for the Spirit all the way through the Bible also means breath. And so, through the Holy Spirit, God took the words of humans writing at a specific time to a specific people and made them his words, words that are alive and powerful for all people. And so what Paul says in this letter to Timothy can be useful for us now. If you want to know more about what this God-breathing means for the Bible, then do come and ask later. But it's that gives the Bible its authority over us now. Those who want us to move with the times, who think that what God says was good and bad, right and wrong, in the past, it is different to what he might think now. That's denying that God is unchanging, and it's saying that he's incapable of knowing the future. But a God that changes is a God that you can't trust. The Bible talks of God who doesn't change, and so neither does what he breathes out, his word. He gave it back then, knowing completely our situation now, what it is that we need today to be equipped to live for him. Now, it is still a human book. We should work to understand their context, but that is to help us better understand what they're saying. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card to avoid saying what it says. The Bible is God-breathed, and so it is useful for us today. When we're wondering how to keep going in a noisy world, it is the Bible that we should look to, that will teach us the right path. So it's these things that we should expect Rob and others who teach us to be doing then, to be using the Bible to point us in the right direction and warn us from wrong. So when we come and sit under our teachers, whether that's on a Sunday or at any other point, we should be looking for that to happen, expecting them to be showing us the Bible. A sermon isn't just a motivational speech to get us through the week. It should be opening up the Bible to show us salvation and equip us for good works. It's these things that show us who is not teaching faithfully. It's those who use the Bible for their own purposes, who teach to gather power and authority to themselves and to rebuke those who would try and take it from them. Sadly, this is all too common. Recently, cases of it have been revealed in churches that would look very similar to us. People who claim to value the Bible, but use it to further themselves and not the people that they lead. They have forgotten the purpose of the Bible and have gone astray because of it. And it's these things that we should expect when we read the Bible ourselves. If we come away from reading a passage just validated in what we already think, rather than challenged and changed, then we've probably not understood it. And so when you come to a passage, these could be good questions to ask. How does this passage teach me, rebuke me, correct me, or train me in righteousness? How does this passage equip me for every good work? That is Scripture's second purpose. Together, these two things, that it makes us wise for salvation and equips us for good works, together these give us everything that we need to live for God. If we know that that is what God's purpose is for the Bible, as we read it, we can look for that purpose being achieved. We can see over time God giving us understanding, more understanding of Jesus at work, of his amazing grace, of the faith that we're called to. And we can see our growth in righteousness as we're trained and corrected. So, hearing God in a noisy world. Despite everything that the world around us tells us, all the different opinions pulling us in all sorts of directions, there is one way to hear God, through the Bible. If we come to it with the right posture, sitting under it, ready to hear, with the right priority, not doing the mobile phone walk, it will achieve God's purpose to make us wise for salvation and equip us for good work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you breathed your words into these human authors' writings. We thank you that it is your word to us now, that it contains all that we need. We pray you'd help us to use it for its right purpose. We pray that you'd be achieving those purposes in us today. Make us wise for salvation and equip us for good works. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.